Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me, the great Warren Moon, in a few minutes. You know, it's interesting that there's so much misinformation out there that, you know, like vaccinations clearly work. They keep you off the ventilator. Doesn't mean you can't get COVID if you get vaccinated. Obviously, you can. It doesn't mean there aren't 1 out of 1,000 people that have a weird reaction sometimes. That happens too. But if your weird, crazy, evangelical, rural uncle is telling you they don't work, he's wrong. They work. Vaccinations work. That's why the NFL, that's why Fox, that's why ESPN, that's why all the companies I've worked have these rules in place to strongly encourage you, not force, but strongly encourage you to get vaccinated. We've always got to pull 20 to 25% of people to the right side of issues. Go to your Reddit boards, argue amongst yourselves, vaccinations work. And that leads me into my lead story today, but that's kind of the world we live in.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of information out there, and anybody can go on Twitter and social media. But, you know, there's this one thing, what's happened in America, and it's gotten really, really bad. And I remember years ago, about 20 years ago, Bill Clinton was the first to talk about it. And he criticized networks. He said, what's happening now is people just go to channels that confirms what they already believe. Nobody wants to learn anything. Bill Maher complained about this with Facebook. He said, Facebook's algorithms are set for you to just hear what you want to hear, not the truth. So, you know, liberals, Silicon Valley gets a lot of heat for this, and they should. Okay, I'm invested heavily in tech, but Facebook deserves criticism. That doesn't mean it's not a great company, but they just set things up for you to hear more of what you believe in, not necessarily the truth. That's where the money is for them, and the clicks and the clicks and the downloads and sharing often ridiculous misinformation. And the tech companies deserve a lot of criticism for that. But there's always been, what I find in America today is people have opinions and then they just go and find information, whether it's right or not, that suits and validates their opinion. Whether it's right or wrong. One of the things about NBA haters is, oh, these players just, they join teams and they don't want to fight. It's all BS. It's just nonsense. So Giannis yesterday, great kid, goes to IG, Instagram, and he posts 4 players, Akeem, D-Wade, Kobe, Dirk. He said, you know, it's harder to win when you mood. Got to stay where you were drafted. Yeah, he also didn't mention Michael Jordan and Magic and Bird and Bill Russell and Tim Duncan and Steph and Isaiah Thomas. And almost all the great dynasties have been by guys who stayed with their team. Folks, players don't want to leave good. Would you want to? Wouldn't it be perfect if your first job out of college was vice president of Amazon or Google? You could invest in the company stock early. You're a millionaire by 37. You're retired by 44. Players don't want to leave. They leave when GMs are idiots, and there's a lot of them, and owners are meddling buffoons. Here's the 4 guys who get criticized for leaving. LeBron. Folks, in the last 20 years, the Cavaliers are completely incompetent, except when LeBron's there. I would have left too. KD. He was playing with Westbrook. You know Westbrook's game. He's hard to play with. I would have left too. Kawhi Leonard. Well, he did win with his original team, and he is an odd personality. That one I can't relate to. And then Anthony Davis. Well, the last 3 stars that have played there, Zion, AD, and Chris Paul, all wanted out of a football-run state. NFL owners own the NBA team. They're not particularly good at it, and they're great at NFL. They're not great at the NBA. Those are the 4. Oh, he's joining forces. Hey, listen. You know, KD's a different personality. I would have never left the Warriors. But I would have left Oklahoma City like KD did. Kawhi is an odd personality, but he did win with his original team. I mean, Damian Lillard right now, there's all sorts of rumors on him. According to people I trust, Dame has told the Blazers, 70% chance I'd like to stay. 30% chance I bolt. We've got to make a move here. Damian Lillard, for 8 years, has given Portland everything he can give. He's become the best small player in the league. They can't get him a running mate. They can't get a legit wing. So you start looking around at the great NBA players, almost all of them, your Stephs and Birds and Magics, most of them of Russell. Kareem, by the way, he won a title with his first team, but he was so good. He was the best player on the planet by a mile. He said he wanted to go to the coast. He was a coastal kid in New York. He wants to go out west. Good for him. But the Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. I think sometimes we think athletes, when I hear this all the time, it cracks me up. Oh, athletes just want the easy route. Do you know how hard it is to get to the NBA? Do you know how hard it is to get to the NFL? How hard it is to go through minor league baseball systems for years to get to MLB? None of these guys are taking the easy route. Now, when you come into leagues and you have a dysfunctional operation like Deshaun Watson did in Houston, and you're like, I'm waving the white flag. Like, I'm out of here. Like, I can't do this. That's when I defend him. That's when I defend. Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, we find out the owner is telling the coach what to do and the GM is telling the coach what to do. I defend Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz did not want to leave Philadelphia. LeBron didn't want to leave Cleveland. Probably either time. That's where I overwhelmingly side with athletes. Mobility out of necessity. I've done the same thing. I'd be a total hypocrite. I have left companies when I thought I left local television. Why? Because I felt ESPN was eating local television sports alive. So I left. I told my boss. I'm like, why would you watch me? Just go watch the other guys. They're national. And then I left that company, the one I used to work at for this company, because I thought this company was better run than that company. And I've seen a lot of mistakes by that former company. So mobility out of necessity. Warren Moon's a Hall of Famer. Too many Pro Bowls to count, although there's 9. He is now joining us live. And that leads us, my topic today, to Aaron Rodgers. Now, with Aaron, Warren, it's not all bad. He's had 5 Pro Bowl offensive linemen. He's got a number one receiver. I love Aaron Jones, the running back. A competent defense. So I have been a little more critical of Aaron, where I've said, listen, Aaron, you're not the easiest guy. Yeah, I mean, Aaron can be difficult. When you look at Aaron, judging on your career, is he needy or do you understand where he's coming from?
Well, there's no question he is a little needy, and I think most quarterbacks are needy, but he also, I understand, is his position that he thinks he has some of the answers to get this team over the top. But I just feel like he has a team that's been good enough to get over the top. They're a play here or a play there from winning that last NFC championship game against Tampa Bay. They had a lot of opportunities inside the red zone. I think they were inside the red zone 6 times and only scored twice.
Yep.
So they had their chances to win that game, and their defense turned Tom Brady over 3 times in that ball game on interceptions.
Yep.
So there were opportunities for that team to get to a Super Bowl. So I really don't understand why he's so unhappy. I could see him saying, yeah, I'd like to have one or two more pieces maybe to get us over the top, but to hold out the whole offseason and go through all this drama that they went through, that's something I totally don't understand.
You know, it is interesting. So Howie Long used to, he joked with me one time. He said, you can't have 2 Hall of Famers in the same room, quarterbacks. One takes all the air out of the room. He goes, quarterback's different. It's the only position on a football team that there's no real competition. You have a star and it's his team. And because of that, I've always given quarterbacks a pass. You get an ego. The entire culture of quarterback is, everybody is looking for one. And you see this in college, where college quarterbacks transfer all the time. Like Kyler Murray's like, hey, it's not my team. I'm going to go find it. So I get that. I look at Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love. And I do. This is where I support him. Because I have a big enough ego that here's where I support him. that I would not want to be a placeholder for a job if I felt I was still elite. If Fox went out and hired a guy and I knew within a year he was going to replace me, I would say, well, I want it to be on my timeline, not your timeline. Trade me to another company. That is where I defend Aaron. He's sitting here thinking, I just was MVP of the league, and you want me to be four lockers away from a guy who's going to replace me. I have earned the right to have a say in how I exit this operation. Is it fair to defend him? That's the one thing I defend him on.
Well, I see both sides of it. I see Aaron's side of it there, but I also see Green Bay's side of it, that they're looking towards the future, that Aaron was coming off of not a subpar year, but it wasn't a year like he just had. So when they drafted Jordan Love, they weren't drafting him based off of Aaron Rodgers being a MVP of the league right after this season. He became a MVP after this first season of Jordan Love. So it just kind of worked out that way. And if Aaron continues to play this way and at this level, they won't replace him. They just want it. It'd be a stupid thing for them to do. But they're looking at what they're looking at for the future, that a guy is getting older. His play was starting to decline. Now all of a sudden, Aaron comes out and has a great year. So they're in a pickle there. But I don't think they would make that change at that position if Aaron was still playing at the rate that he's playing right now. If anything, they would trade Jordan Love and get another high round draft pick and maybe draft another quarterback to start the process all over again. But I don't think they would trade a quarterback that was playing at that level.
So Mike Sando comes out every year, Warren, with four tiers of quarterbacks. He goes and talks to executives and GMs and coaches. It's a very complete list. Whether I agree or not, I appreciate the effort he puts into it, and I agree with most of it. They have Tua in tier four, middle to bottom, and many of the quotes from executives are, listen, man, I don't see the special. I don't see it in size, in arm, athletic ability. And everybody says, well, Brady took years to be great, and this guy took years to be great. But my takeaway is quarterbacks now have such good coaching in high school, the summer camps, the quarterback coaching. I'm not as patient, Warren. You got to, in your first 16 starts, I mean, I got to see stuff really quickly. Not in 78, 88, 98, 2008, but it's 2021. How long would you give Tua? What if he stinks in September?
Well, I'm going to give him this year to at least get off to a good start. You got to remember, he was coming off of a major injury to a major part of his body for a quarterback in that hip area. And he didn't have an off season, coming off of a major injury. So, and he didn't have a really good feel for the playbook that he's admitted this off season. So now he's got no excuses. He's had over a year to recuperate this injury. He's had a full off season, and he's got some good weapons around him. So now it's in his court to go out there and play the way they thought he could as the number three overall pick or number four overall pick, whatever he was. You can have more patience with a Tom Brady because he was a six-round draft pick. You don't expect him to come in and set the world on fire. But Tua, because he was such a high-round, first-round pick, yeah, you want to see results as quickly as possible. So I'm going to at least give him into this season to see how well he gets off to a great start, and then we'll make the decision after that.
Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Warren, let's go to Mike Sando's four tiers of quarterback. So in tier one, I agreed with this, although I would have included Josh Allen. It's Aaron and Mahomes and Brady and Russell and Deshaun. I would have included Josh Allen, but he is the first guy in tier two, so I'm sure it was close. And then tier two is mostly guys I think are close to tier one. Lamar, Stafford, Dak, Herbert, Ryan, Kyler Murray, Tannehill, Joe Burrow. Tier three, I could make an argument. I like Derek Carr more than most. I would have put him end of tier two. He was the first player in tier three. Him, Baker, Ben, Cousins, Goff, Wentz, Garoppolo, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Daniel Jones. I would have put Sam Darnold end of tier three, but he's the first player in tier four, blah, 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 blah. So when you look at these tiers, is there any one or two quarterbacks that you kind of go, whoa, he's a little high or a little low?
You know, Josh Allen, there's no question I think he could be in tier one. Because he was a runner-up for the MVP trophy last year. So he's right there. He had a tremendous year throwing the football, tremendous year running the football as well, had his team in the AFC Championship game. So I could see him up in that top tier. But, you know, Deshaun Watson had an outstanding year too. And now as we come into this year, we don't even know if Deshaun is going to be able to play. So I think right there you could move Josh Allen into that top tier and maybe move Deshaun down, only because you don't know what his status is as a player this year because of the legal problems he has right now. But the thing that I love about that whole list is that this quarterback position is in great, great hands in the National Football League. There
yes.
are so many good ones, and you could kind of interchange a lot of those different guys if you really wanted to. And again, all of that's going to play out again this year, and you're going to see a lot of those guys move down and move up because there's so many guys that are close in those lists.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is the golden age of quarterbacks. It's only getting better. Finally, I want to circle back to Aaron Rodgers. If you would have had all this drama in the offseason and you reported to camp, how would you address the team? Would you talk about it? Would you pretend it didn't happen? How would you forget the media, forget us? Would you address the team on this, maybe privately, Warren?
You know, when I was with the Seahawks, that was the only time that I ever held out because I became the starter there and I went on to go to a Pro Bowl and be the MVP of the Pro Bowl. So I wanted my contract renegotiated because I was on a backup contract. So once I came into camp after 2 weeks, I brought the whole team together after that first practice and I apologized for the distractions that I caused and all the different things that they had to deal with as a team. And I just wanted them to know that I was with them going forward and let's not talk about this anymore. So I addressed it first day of practice and we never talked about it anymore. Hopefully Aaron will do something like that with his team because this is a lot of drama. And I think because of the way it's set up, my deal was I got a 3-year deal out of that. He's going on a deal where his year is going to be over maybe after this season. So they're going to deal with this the rest of the year. They're going to be asked questions about this all year long. If Aaron has a bad game or if Aaron feels like the team's not playing well, how is Aaron's attitude? So they're going to be dealing with this the whole season long. It's a little bit different situation. That noise is not going to go away immediately.
Yeah. Did any of the Seahawks players have a problem with it? Did they confront you later?
They really didn't. I think most players understand when you're going through contract negotiations that I never made it known that I wanted to leave or anything like that. Now, Aaron's a little bit different. He wants to leave, so there might be some ill feelings about that. But these guys knew that I was with them and I wanted to be with them. It was just a matter of working out the contract language.
By the way, a lot of you, I have said it before, the first great quarterback I ever saw was Warren Moon. You can watch it on YouTube now. He was the quarterback at the University of Washington, and I was a kid, and I was watching football, and there was this guy named Warren Moon from, like, L.A. Community College. He was undrafted. He won 5 Grey Cup championships with Edmonton. You're a Canadian Hall of Famer. You're a Husky Hall of Famer. You're an NFL Hall of Famer. I hope you have a nice trophy room somewhere in your house, Warren. You got a lot of awards.
I have a big storage unit. That's what I have.
It'll be on Storage Wars one of these days. I'll be watching that show, and it's all Warren Moon's trophy.
Yeah, I've seen that show.
Good seeing you, Warren.
I could be on it.
All right.
Good to see you, man. Take care.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I mean, it is a weird situation where you got a quarterback that it's hard for me to get my arms around the fact that if everybody in the organization knows you want out, I can't unhear that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think when it comes to the business side of sports, guys are very respectful about it. They don't like to talk about
other people's
money and other people's situations.
They say that about the mob. Don't talk about money or family. You know what I mean? It's like that's kind of the way it is in the NFL. Don't talk about
just don't talk about it because there's really nothing to talk about. It's not your business. It's just your opinion and it doesn't help anything. But I do think if you're in the building, that's what matters. I like that Warren said he handled it like that. I would imagine that Aaron has to address it.
Right.
Just to clear the air. Like sometimes there's nothing really to talk about. You just need to acknowledge that this happens and that you are aware that everyone has had to deal with it. And sometimes that's enough.
Crazy. It's commercial time. Yeah. I get into these long interviews, and, you know, a guy like me, getting up there, I just kind of lose myself.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Oh, my God!
Universal Champion Roman Reigns has accepted Finn Balor's challenge. What does this mean for John Cena? The summer of Cena continues on an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox.
Simply Safe, making people feel safe at home. Past 15 years, go to simplysafecolin.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. We're going to have some sound here from Aaron Rodgers quickly. He's going off today in Green Bay. We're here for it. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Katie Ledecky was at the top of the podium for the first time in Tokyo last night. She won the gold in the first ever women's 1500-meter freestyle race, finishing about 4 seconds ahead of USA teammate Erica Sullivan. The win came just about an hour after she missed the podium for the first time in her Olympic career with a fifth-place finish in the 200-meter freestyle. And she also has a silver medal from these games in the 400-meter freestyle. Did you get a chance to see any of this last night?
I've watched highlights this morning.
Man, listen. I could swim across like a hot tub. This is a 15-minute race. This is crazy.
It is incredible.
This is crazy. It was wild to watch. So, like, we get a little desensitized sometimes to the feats that these humans are accomplishing. Like, listen, for as crazy as Twitter has been for the past couple days, everyone was very appreciative of this athletic feat. Like, this is impossible.
Well, I say this before. There are events in the Winter and Summer Olympics. If you really, I'm a skier. If you watch downhill skiing.
Oh, I mean.
The speed. Yes, it's terrifying.
I went down like a little, what's like the baby hills, not the like,
right.
where you learn, but yeah. It's a blue?
Yeah, it's a green.
Green, yeah. In horror. I can't even imagine.
So like when you look at some of these, I'm the skiing stuff downhill, I'm always like, this is absolutely terrifying. And I can ski. And sometimes I look at these, I mean, I would need a life preserver by the third lap. I would be done. I couldn't do it. And I'm a decent swimmer. I could not do that. It's just, and the other thing is, they have a surge at the end. So you've done this,
yeah.
And then the last, how many meters, the last two pull lengths, they've got another gear. It's like, how do they do it?
It's amazing. It was amazing. So congrats to Katie. She has won 8 Olympic gold medals, 6 gold and 2 silver, and 18 world championship medals. Really impressive performance last night. So Aaron Rodgers is back with the Packers for 2021. He is apparently going off at the podium, and we will have that for you. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. I got to say, I'm a little surprised. I was thinking he was going to be a little coy.
Generally, his personality is not a confrontational personality.
Right.
So, and this is why I've always said I didn't think he had the stomach to hold out. Aaron likes to be liked. He's a little KD. I got no problem with that at all. He's different, though. He, you know, Kawhi has no social media imprint. He couldn't care.
Right.
LeBron can be manipulative. KD and Aaron can be a little sensitive. And so, apparently today, he is giving, and we're going to have this in just a couple seconds here. He's had lots of opinions today.
Well, his new contract opens the door for a move after this season. And according to Fox Bet, the Packers are still the favorites to keep him at plus 300. But the Broncos are a close second at plus 350. We talked about it a little bit at the end of the show yesterday. You think the Dolphins could actually be a kind of sleeper landing spot for him?
Nobody mentions the Dolphins. Joy, it's the AFC,
right.
Which is you don't want to trade Aaron in conference.
Correct.
Or especially division. So it's AFC. And my takeaway is, the only drawback is it's Miami and he has preferred to stay west, but I think Aaron would get over that. It's an international cool vibe city.
Well, I also think he wants to go to a good situation.
Well, I think Miami is.
And it is a good situation. Now look, everyone is in Miami is still all in on Tua for the moment.
But they went 10-6 last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua. What would they do with Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. I think Miami's a Super Bowl team with an elite quarterback. I've said this. Washington and Miami, those teams are good enough to get to a Super Bowl. I just don't think they have the right quarterback.
The Raiders have the fourth best odds.
I don't get it. That's a bad roster. Gruden's is too emotional, too much leverage, and Mayock may not have a job in 12 months. Like, the Raider thing doesn't make sense.
I also don't think the Saints or the Browns make sense.
I don't see that happening.
I mean, Baker's going to have a good year and get a contract. So.
Yes, he is.
I don't think the Browns is even an option. Washington is kind of interesting, but it's still in the NFC.
Do people understand Washington, and this is not hyperbolic, has the best defensive line in the NFL. Three of the four are kids. Washington, and I'm going back to the 70 Steelers, who had four great defensive linemen. This Washington defensive front is an overwhelming. These are physically and Chase Young is immediately a star. So it's got a Niners feel to it from 2 years ago where they just steamrolled O-lines, although I think it's more talented potentially than the Niners.
It's interesting. So Andy Dalton signed a one-year deal in Chicago, expecting to be the Bears' starting quarterback after the team drafted Justin Fields in the first round. Fans were obviously excited about seeing him, but Dalton is not paying attention to the hype surrounding his new teammate and is solely focused on leading the offense.
He's a first-round pick. I understand that. But I also understand that I'm the starter, and I understand that I knew I signed a one-year deal. I knew that I was going to come in. I was going to be the starter, regardless of the situation coming in. And so that's my focus. I'm not worried about all the stuff that's going to be going on with Justin, because that doesn't affect me. At the end of the day, it's what I'm going to be doing and everything. And Justin and I have a really good relationship, and I'm trying to help him out as much as I can.
Very interesting team. They've got two running backs because Tariq Cohen's back. They have a star receiver. They have a very good tight end out of Notre Dame. O-line's okay. So Justin Fields to me seems valuable because of his ability to move. Andy, I think with that O-line, could be at times a sitting duck. Now it's not a division with necessarily great pass rushes. So, you know, the O-line I think is good enough to get them to a playoff if everything were. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think Chicago's kind of a fascinating team this year because we also have a head coach on the hot seat. And a GM on the hot seat.
Are they, though? Because they just took Justin Fields. So I think that's bought them a little bit of
time.
It'll
buy them. They're not going to get fired in season. It bought them this season for sure. I can't wait to watch the Bears play.
I don't get this situation. The Jimmy G situation makes sense to me. Jimmy G was just in a Super Bowl. All right. The only reason that they took Trey Lance is because Jimmy G can't stay up.
Yeah.
So this is not Jimmy G. Jimmy G is significantly better than Andy Dalton. He's a starter in this league. And if he could stay healthy, that Trey Lance wouldn't even be there. So that's not the situation in Chicago. Like, Chicago fans deserve to see Justin Fields. Andy Dalton is not the future of this organization. Andy Dalton is, I don't believe, a starter in this league anymore. So what's the value of it? I think we've gotten too far into the space of, like, everyone has to have the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes situation. Like, everybody has to be in this incubator. I hated what Miami did last year with Tua. If he wasn't healthy, fine. Say he's not healthy enough to start the season. But the development that you're losing from that on-field experience, from implementing a game plan from the week of and going up to learning the playbook and then going out there and failing, like, there's value in failure. I know that you owe a little bit to the rest of the team because they're not in development process, but every other rookie you draft is expected to play right away.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, offensive linemen learning from the offensive linemen. Like, this is your job. It's your first year. Go out and play. And especially if it's the Bears, you haven't had a quarterback in, 30, 40 years? Justin Fields should be starting week one if he is healthy and ready to go.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So Aaron Rodgers returned yesterday. I didn't quite know what he would do. I've been asking all my guests, forget the media, do you talk to the team? I know Aaron has talked to the receivers on his team because they all summarily held out, right? So he hit the podium today, and we've got a couple of bites. I haven't seen these, so these are fresh off the grill. Let's play the first one.
As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen.
All right. That, let me just say this. That part is the part I've defended him. You want me to be a lame duck quarterback? You're not going to give me any opinions on current coaching or players. So I have no leverage now in the moment. And you're looking to move me. Okay, then, as Aaron said, move me. I don't want to sit here as a and by this is the one spot where I defend him, and he's addressing it. Okay, here's that one I defend him on is you don't give me a say on any personnel or any coaches. And by the way, he's not a GM, but you should probably tell him if you're going to get rid of his quarterback coach, or you know, in camp when you're down to the last four or five cuts, if it's a receiver, you should probably ask him, or a tight end, just ask him. Like, Aaron, this is not a player that's going to change the outcome of games. Who are you more comfortable with? I think that's where you go to a star quarterback. And, you know, it's like if LeBron loves Alex Caruso, then keep Alex Caruso around. He's a good enough player to keep. LeBron loves playing with him. You're not asking him on all the personnel moves, but so here's Aaron's second bite.
There wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, you know, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much.
That's a good bite. That's a good bite. Hey, I'm here. I'm a resource. Don't treat me like a guy. You got to – this – these are well thought out. These two bites, I can't disagree with them. Now, people will say, well, if my work, you're not Aaron Rodgers. I hear this all the time. It was Simone Biles. It was a, well, I couldn't quit. If you work at Home Depot, you're not the world's greatest gymnast. Nothing against Home Depot, but you're not Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron's great. He's a Hall of Famer. So what he is saying is, don't treat me like just a guy. Hey, folks, in the parking garage at Fox, executives get parking spots. They're not treated, executives, like a guy. They get their own parking spots. They can eat. They get a better restaurant to eat at on campus here. So Aaron's just saying, I'm pretty good here. I play the most important position. I'm arguably the best in the world at it, certainly in the class. I love the city. I love the team. I'm totally invested. I want to say, the first two bites that I've heard, I'm Team Aaron on those two. We're editing. By the way, he has such a... Aaron Rodgers needs to be an actor at some point. He's got this sort of grifter walked into town with a brain and an attitude. He just looks...
You know what I think is impressive about his press conference is that he's not emotional. I think it's very important when you're talking about something that you care about deeply and you're trying to communicate where you're coming from that you don't allow yourself to get super emotional, because then you lose track of the point that you're trying to make. Like, he's very, very calm in his delivery. It's important.
I want 10 more bites. Editors, get on it. The rest of the show, I want bites.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
So Mike Sando's a senior writer for The Athletic, a selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, covered the NFL for 25 years. He talks to 50 coaches and evaluators. He rates 34 quarterbacks, tier 1 to tier 4. We've talked about this. It's the one thing that comes out every year, and I think it's kind of the Bible, because I love this position. I'm just into it. I was a terrible high school quarterback, but I've loved the position forever, and I hold it to a certain level of esteem in the world of sports. I mean, there's the international goal scorer in soccer. There's the quarterback. There's the star in the NBA. And that, to me, that's the royal family of global sports. So Mike Sando is joining us live as Aaron Rodgers is talking today in Green Bay, and he's got a lot of things to say. So Aaron and Mahomes finished tied for first. I'm a little surprised by that. Because Aaron can be off-putting, I think, to some executives and coaches because of his personality. Were you surprised Aaron finished first?
No, I was actually relieved because I didn't want some outlier guy saying, you know, like the, even the last couple of years when the Packers production wasn't as good, he was still getting at worst 46 ones, you know?
Yeah.
So people in the league understand. They know all the stuff he does. And he even has some advantages over Mahomes just based on experience and being able to see the whole game and be calling timeouts and shuffling their personnel in and out. He's everything.
It's amazing to me, Mike, the quality of quarterback play. I would have had Dak lower in tier two, but I have no. I've always said I think he's about 12. You know, people around the league look at him as like 9. I don't have a problem with it, but it's fascinating. Kyler Murray's small. Josh Allen's huge. Deshaun Watson runs. Aaron Rodgers runs a little. Brady doesn't run at all. When you compare this to previous years, I feel like this is the best quarterback play in my life in the NFL. Am I nuts?
Well, it's interesting you say that because the reason a Dak Prescott or even a Stafford moved up a little was partly because Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers retired and Ben Roethlisberger's fallen off. So there's a changing of a guard going on here for sure, but I'm not going to dispute you on that. I think we've lost some of the mainstays. You know, Peyton Manning's gone and Brees is gone, and at the very least, we're not feeling bad about it. We're like excited to see some of these other guys. Justin Herbert, I mean, wouldn't you bet on him maybe being a one in the next year or two?
Yeah.
There's the guys we want to see more of. There's more optimism among guys who are already twos. They're already pretty good.
Mike, you are a journalist. You probably go in with mostly a blank slate. You don't want to have judgments, but you're a human being. Is there anything here you went, wow, that caught me off guard?
The level of love for Joe Burrow after 11 games,
wow,
when he had 13 touchdowns with 5 interceptions, I wasn't sure. I mean, it's really easy in these rankings, and when I call these guys or talk to them, they could just give him a 4, which is kind of not enough information. You could bail out. There's room to just not make a declaration, and it was like twos. I mean, he got 27 twos,
yeah,
without doing anything yet, and guys who played him are like, this is a real guy. You know what I mean? What I love about this, Colin, is like we can put the stats up of Kirk Cousins, and they're better than Joe Burrow all day. Joe Burrow might not have those stats in the next 3 years as good, but people in the league want Burrow as their guy. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. So when you talk to these executives, I think I've always had I think I respect Jimmy Garoppolo more than the average executive. My takeaway is Kyle Shanahan's a brilliant coach. Look at his record when Garoppolo doesn't play. In baseball, it's the wins above replacement. I don't know how great Garoppolo is, but he wins a lot of football games. What is the knock on? Is the knock the injury thing, or when you talk to executives, does it go beyond that?
Oh, a little bit beyond it, but I think you and the executives agree, but a lot of them... for a lot of them, injury is part of the evaluation, right? Availability is part of this. So when you can't be counted on to make it through a season, then it's hard to be a 2 or a 1, right? And then you take the context. Look, a lot of guys would like to play in Kyle Shanahan's system. There's a huge run element to it. He wants to run the ball all the time. And, you know, people have a sour taste from the end of half situations in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everyone thought, you know what? Kyle told us exactly what he thought of him, and we're not going to argue with that.
So Tua is buried in Tier 4, and the evaluator's comments on your article at The Athletic, Mike, are damning. did that catch you? I mean, he doesn't do it for me. I don't see the special physical trait at all.
That's exactly what my take, too, is where – even people who are defending him and liking him, I'm like, okay, what is he going to be great at? And the hope is that he's just a really efficient player who gets the ball out and has nice accuracy. In today's day and age, when you're picking in the top 10, you're really hoping to get Justin Herbert, you know, right? Where you're going, wow, you know what? My aunt who doesn't follow football would watch the game and say, that guy's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. That was always my mom, my late mother. I called it did not know who Derek Jeter was, but knew who A-Rod was. And I said, if my mom's heard of you, you're a superstar, not just a star. And it's does it jump off the television set, basically, is what I want to see from a quarterback.
Yep. And so if you and I had to bet, okay, $1 million on whether they are or are not looking for a new quarterback in the next 18 months, I think we're both betting that they probably are.
They are. Okay, so he's a senior writer of The Athletic. I highly respect him. His name is Mike Sando. He gets a Pro Football Hall of Fame vote. He really knows his stuff. This is so much fun to look at. And I want to thank you for stopping by on a crazy day where Aaron Rodgers is going crazy at the mic in at Lambeau. Mike, it's good talking to you again.
Hey, thanks, Colin. We'll do it again next time.
You bet. Escape QuickBooks with Oracle's NetSuite, number one financial system. Go to netsuite.com/herd, netsuite.com/herd. I'm going to lay out all the Aaron Rodgers quotes from Lambeau. He's talking today. We're going to go through all of them. I'll have opinions on all of them. 7 or 8 quotes from Aaron Rodgers, who is, he is firing away, and Joy and I are here for it. Hour 3 on a Wednesday next.